Welcome again to Mission Love Ministries. I want to talk to you today about getting ready for Christ's return. Getting ready for Christ's return. Now, before I talk about what we should do to get ready for Christ's return, let's look at what the scriptures say. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17 say, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God." I can tell you now, that's a lot that's going on at one time. It must be really loud. The Apostle John said in Revelation that he heard the voice of the Lord, and it was as many waters. People who have seen heaven and come back have said that they heard the Lord's voice, and it was booming. It was both loud and commanding. But here we have these three things: a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, all at one time. When the Lord comes back, it's not just an average, "Oh, I'm back, let's get ready to go" type of deal. This is a magnificent event. It is going to be announced to everyone and everything in God's creation. It will even be announced to the devil. There will be no mistaking when this event happens. It goes on to say in that scripture, "The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord." We are the reason for his return. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is the reason why he is coming back, to receive us to him forever. Now, if anyone in the natural, who was, let's say, a celebrity, were coming to your house, wouldn't you frantically clean your house? And wouldn't you put your best clothes on? Well, in the natural, we would do that. But what about Jesus? In the spiritual, Jesus himself will appear in the natural. And we should be ready in our heart and in our soul to receive him. He's not going to be just an ordinary visitor. This is going to be the one who co-created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but John chapter 1 also says, "The Word was in the beginning. He was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him that was made." We have to understand that this is going to be God in the flesh coming back to get us. He's not going to just take us, somewhere better. He's going to take us to be with him forever. We will always behold his face. Yes, his return is imminent, and his return is going to be beyond words to describe. It is worth getting ready for. With that being said, let's look at the first thing that we can do to get ready for his return. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it says that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We must look for him. We must diligently and patiently wait for him. Some people are just getting so weary in waiting for Christ to come back. They're wondering where he is, why he hasn't come back yet. The world is getting so bad that they're like, "I don't understand. Why hasn't he come yet?" And part of that could be because none of us will really be satisfied while we are here on this earth. We are not meant to be fully satisfied because of this earth. The only one who can fully satisfy us is God. Psalms 107 verse 9 says, "He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Some of us, we just get so frustrated with this world. We get so tired of it. The truth is that this world will never be our home. It's just a place that we're passing through. An old hymnal went like this: "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We can never be fully satisfied with this world. Only God can do that. So part of our impatience is the fact that we just want to go home, to be with God forever. But we must diligently and patiently wait for him. There may be times when it's really tough to wait and be diligent, but we must hold the course. Depending upon the Lord and His Holy Spirit will help us get through this hard time of waiting. In the meantime, let's just keep looking for Him, for one day He will appear. Along this same thought, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 42, that we should watch, for we do not know the hour that the Lord will come. It goes on to say in verse 43 that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. To watch means to give strict attention to, similar to looking for him. We shouldn't just look for him, but we should actually watch with careful attention given to this. Now, I want to say that at this time, people are prophesying so much for the end times, but we cannot be focused on prophecy. We must always be focused on Jesus. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We can look at our pastor or anyone who is on TV preaching the word of God, but we must remember that they are just supposed to be like a lead follower. We are supposed to follow Jesus and Jesus only. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. These pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers, they're good for the body of Christ for exhorting others, but they can never get us ready. Only God, through His Holy Spirit, teaching us inside of our heart, can get us ready. So that's why we should watch Him. We should pay careful attention to Him. He will tell us the way, and He'll show us the way. So don't lose your focus upon God. Next, let's look at James chapter 5, verse 8. It says that we should establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. To establish our heart means that we should be stable, set, fixed, and constant. So many people are wavering these days. The devil has stepped up his tactics to distract us, and we are easily distracted these days. We run from one thing to another. We think that being busier means being better. But we don't need to do as much to be steady and constant. We just need to stay focused and do what we were told to do by the Lord until the Lord says to do something else. He will not run us back and forth like a pinball going through a pinball machine. We shouldn't be knocked from here to there, the here to there, and back and forth so much that we get dizzy and frustrated. We should be steady. We should be constant. And the one thing that we can always look back to and say, yes, I need to go back to this, and I need to review it and refresh my memory and refresh my spirit and soul with it, is God's love. Jesus said there's only two commandments. He said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. If we ever feel like we're not stable or constant, we should always go back and look at this and then let the Lord speak to our heart and show us where we've not been fixed in our belief. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, God will keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is fixed upon Him. We can't enjoy peace if we don't have our minds fixed on Him. David said, I delight in your law. It is my meditation all the day long. God told Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. This is so we can be steady in Him by having Him steady in us. And I do believe that the only way we're going to make it through these last days before the coming of the Lord is to be steady in Him. We don't have to be a superhero or something. We just have to be steady in Him. A steady current going through the lines keeps the power on, not a big burst of power going through the lines. We should be steady in Him, constantly with His Holy Spirit flowing through us. Now, in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. First, girding up the loins of your mind. In the Old Testament, when a man was about to work or he's about to run, he would bind his garments close to his body in order to have more movement with this increased activity. God is getting ready to use all of us who are willing in these last days to work for his kingdom. He's calling us to prepare ourselves so we can work hard and give service, both to him and for others. Being sober means that we are calm and collected in the Holy Spirit. We are to keep ourselves from the drunkenness of this world so that we can see clearly and think clearly. We cannot do that if we are hooked up with the drugs that this world has to offer us. There are some nice things in this world, but if they don't fit with the commandments of God, we certainly should not have anything to do with them in these last days. If for no other reason but for the fact that we love God and we want to give to him ourselves and everything we have in order to get ready for Christ's return. And to rest our hope means to wait for salvation with joy and full of confidence. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7 says that we are to be eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be anxiously waiting. We should be eagerly waiting. Anyone who says that Christ is coming, we should never be anxious and fretful. The only way that we are anxious and fretful is if we are not fully trusting in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. If we are finding fear in our heart of the Lord's return, we should re-examine our love walk with the Lord. Once we do that, we will find that the fear of Christ's return will go away, and we'll be eagerly waiting for his return instead. And we can rest our hope upon the Lord who is coming soon. Another thing that we can do is found in Luke 21, verse 28. Jesus said, "Now when these end-time things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." We already know that looking up means that we are elated, we are ecstatically happy that he is coming. But to lift up our heads, that means that we should be raised up, talking of the timid and sorrowful recovering spirit. The Bible says that we should not let condemnation overwhelm us. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, we're told, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The devil may be accusing us, trying to remind us of the sins that we had committed and may even be committing now. But God doesn't do that. He says, this is what you could be doing instead of that sin, and it would give you life. We should never be condemned and told that we are nothing and can't have anything by the devil when the Lord has promised us so much and has told us how much he loves us. He will never stop loving us. It's up to us, though, to receive his love. Instead of listening to the devil, let's listen to God so he can both forgive us and cleanse us, as 1 John 1 verse 9 says. We should not be condemned for receiving Christ. All the former things have passed away. Everything has become new. God has said that he will take our sins and throw them behind his back. And believe me, he can throw it way far behind his back. In other words, it's saying that he doesn't want to look at our sin. He wants to look at us. And as long as we are receiving him into our heart and looking at him, watching him, and taking heed to him, as long as we are always seeking him, we can lift our head up and say, "No, devil, I am forgiven and I am cleansed, and I have received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." We should never have our head hanging low. That part is reserved for the devil. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The Bible says for us not to be concerned only with our own things, but also the things of others. We should always be seeking to be ministering to others. God says that as you sow, you will reap. If we were to just sow into our own lives, it would be a very lonely harvest. Sowing into other people's lives also helps us to have fellowship with others, so we can help minister to each other and strengthen each other. You can't have just one strong link in a chain and another weak one next to it, and then another strong link, and expect the chain to hold. That weak link will break. We must help encourage each other. So this verse says for us to consider one another. God did say for us to love others as ourselves. He didn't say just to love ourselves, but he said to love others as ourselves. We should learn to love ourselves by letting God love us, and then that way we can help to love others. Part of the great commission that the Lord gave us all was that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that we should be willing to share with others what we have been given. We must consider one another, and we shouldn't do it by just forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need each other. We need to help encourage each other. The Bible says that when we come together, every one of us should have a psalm, a hymn, an encouragement for each other. We shouldn't just go to church or gather together in the Lord's name just to draw from the crowd. There may be times when we need to, but it is actually better for us to help encourage others, even if we need encouraging ourselves. By doing so, it releases some of the attention off of ourselves so we can receive from others and from God the strength that we need. And we're going to need this strength in these last days. We need to be encouraging each other and strengthening the weak links in the chain so we can all stand together. So if one starts to fall, the other two, one on each side, can help pull them up. We must always pray for each other and encourage each other. And like this verse says, so much the more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. One more scripture concerning what we can do to get ready for Christ's return is Colossians 3 verses 4 through 5. It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, when it's talking about putting to death your members, it's talking about the evil longings that may be lurking within you. While we are in this world, we will always be tempted by the evil desires that come up out of the fleshly nature. But like the Bible says, we don't have to be overcome by evil, but we can overcome evil with good. The good that is inside of us by the Holy Spirit which has been given unto us. We can put these things to death, which means that we can deprive it of its power or destroy the strength of it. In other words, you can return to sender. You can bounce it right back down to hell where it came from. You don't have to let it knock you down. You don't have to let it drag you down. You don't have to let it overcome you. 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil will never be more powerful than God. Yes, the devil has power, but only if we give it to him. So we should stop giving power to the devil, especially with our words. But it all starts within our heart and in our mind. We should think about what we're thinking about and get rid of the stinking thinking. We do not have to think about what the devil puts before us. It is our right to choose or refuse it. And considering the times, we should always refuse anything from the devil because it is not beneficial to us to get ready for Christ's return. Here are a couple of warnings I want to give you from the scripture. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We should never shrink back from living for Christ or talking about him, because what we've received from God is greater than what the world could ever give us in their approval. I'd rather have Christ's approval than the whole world's approval. The world did not die for me and save me and cleanse me from sin and promise me a place forever that is filled with joy and happiness and peace. No, the world can't offer that, but Christ has, and we should never be ashamed of talking about it. Like the old song says, you can have this old world, but give me Jesus. Another warning is found in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, and it says, Jesus speaking, "Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man." What does this sound like? It sounds like all the scriptures that we've looked at. We should never let our hearts be dulled, and we shouldn't be drawn around by the world's drunkenness and by the worries of life. And we should never let that day catch us unaware. We should be looking for it. That day will come upon all living upon the earth, and we should always keep alert at all times, and we should always pray that we might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus has given us much to think about and to pray about. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, free from sin, not having spot or a fault of moral blemish, or wrinkly, or drawn together, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and prepared for God with solemn rite and without blemish or without blame. Jesus wants to come back for a bride that is clean. We should keep our minds and our hearts clean by the word. Jesus said, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And 1 Peter 4, verse 17 says, "The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel?" We should always live in Christ and let Christ live in us, and we will be ready at all times. God is speaking to our hearts right now to get ready. And we know that God will send his Son, and he will come back. It's not a percentage of a chance that he will be back. He will be back, and he will come ready to receive us. Our Father's house is full of many mansions, and he is just eagerly waiting for us to be with him. But before he comes, let's get ready for Christ's return. Father, I pray that people will look up these scriptures and look at other scriptures that have to do with Christ's return, and I pray that you'll deal with their hearts so they can be ready for when your Son comes to receive us and to you. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that we can be ready with your help for when your Son comes to get us and bring us to you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.